Welcome again back to All Villages Sunday Worship. We're so glad again you joined us. We hope and pray God will encourage you in this time. Lots of good things, lots of great things going on in the life of the church. We pray that there's great things going on in your life as well. This is bigger than just a Sunday service. We believe God is moving in us and through us and helping us be again a movement of His love, of His kingdom building, wherever you are, wherever He has us. And so we pray that this will be an encouragement in that next step for you. But before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the invitation to come and be a part of what you're doing in the life of the church. Thank you for inviting us to worship you, declare your greatness, your glory, your beauty. We ask, Lord, that you would guide our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, everything about us so that we may be fully present and that we may hear what you have for us. I ask that you would anoint these words, that you would help every person grow, help us all grow to flourish in you. Help us to really think through what is our next step in following you, in knowing you, in living with you, living in step and in harmony with you. Guide this time, Lord, in your name. Amen. Last few weeks, I have been away, had a great, wonderful time, was able to go visit the west coast of Florida and enjoy the beautiful sand of Siesta Key, had a chance to play with the family, hang out with them. We ended up going to North Carolina, had a blast up there. It was just a time of whether it be tubing down a river, building a little campfire for some s'mores, or playing Catan or whatever card game we could come up with and stuff. So we had a wonderful, wonderful time. But it's so good to be back. Thanks so much goes out to all those that covered and that were stepped in. I heard that you guys liked them more than me, and that's good. I liked them too, so I'm glad to hear that. But I'm jumping back in it, and we're gonna get going here when it comes to reading the book of Exodus. And so we're actually at chapters 19 through 24. And we only have this week and next week in Exodus, but what's important is to really realize, again, there's so much going on here. I really think it's helpful to again, read Genesis like it's the second book in the Bible. Read Exodus first, because we kind of get the landscape, the context. We get to see that these rescued people, these formerly slaved people, okay, are now experiencing God out this Mount Sinai, and that's where that image is kind of showing you here, right? At this mountain, and God is present with them and sharing with them, again, who he is and how to be in relationship with him, and he invites them and says, do you want to be a part of this, right? And so we're going to dig into that part today, but a lot of times we can just kind of, I don't know, we just kind of, oh, it's another big story. It is a big part of the story of God, for sure, and we're in Act 3 of the story. But know this, that God is wanting us to know who he is and wanting us to live in relationship with him and learn how to live in relationship with others. That our faith, it should be impacting our relationships with people. It should impact how we live, what decisions we make. Everything from the music we listen to, again, how we deal with conflict in our everyday life. Our faith is more than just about us going somewhere after we die. Our faith is about a way of living in the way of Jesus. And we're going to see again from back in the day with Moses and what God does for his people here. And so I just want you to lean in. I hope it really encourages you. It's one of my favorite parts, one of my favorite books in the Bible is Exodus. And so we're going to check out again chapters 19 through 24. Now I say it's epic. I say it's epic because, again, we got Mount Sinai, thick cloud, fire, smoke, mountain quakes, okay? So let me just read you a couple bits from chapter 19. And again, it's just so, you can just imagine this and, you know, right, like what this must have been like. You've seen the Red Sea parting, you've gone through, you're now been, it's been about 2 months since the Red Sea, since leaving Egypt and everything. And so now you're at this Mount Sinai and this is what's happening. Thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from the ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Can you picture this? I mean, you're feeling this, right? And Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. all of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. I mean that's powerful, right? I mean, it's epic. You're talking about an entrance, right? I mean, this is a big deal. God is meeting with his people for really the first time. And he wants to help them know that he is unlike any other God that they could have imagined, that they could have heard about. And he wants them to be able to respect this and to see the kind of God he is. He's already rescued them, right? But now he rescues them and now invites them into a special relationship. He tells them that if they join into a relationship with him, that he's going to help make them a kingdom of priests. Think about that. I don't know about you. Most of us are not priests, okay? Most of us aren't, right? And so what does that even mean? We're going to be these mediators where God has us in our everyday life. He has placed us there so that we can help people that don't know God come to know him through us. I mean, think about it. Kingdom of priests. And so he tells them that you're going to be a kingdom of priests for all people. You're going to be a holy nation. You're going to be set apart, that you're going to be different from everyone else. And it's not going to be like weird difference. It's going to be different for so many other good reasons. So there's a lot going on here, right? Exodus 19. Now, Exodus 20 is known as the 10 words. And we have this no other gods, okay? So it's not actually commandments. That was first one was like the Geneva Bible that first actually was used in the Bible. It's not known as the 10 commandments. The word isn't a commandment, even though it's like you shall not kind of thing. They're more like kind of like, this is the way to live, okay? But let's go over the 10, ready? We got no other gods, no idols, okay? An idol can be anything we make or create. I kind of jumped a little too early on this one. The no other gods part, number one, it doesn't say, okay, that there aren't any other gods, okay, little g. It's like, you shall not have any other gods before me. It's like we're going to worship something or someone. We've been made, we've been hardwired to worship. Who are we worshiping? What are we worshiping? And so he's like, listen, no other gods before me. I am the one true God. No idols. God's name, keep it holy. Keep a Sabbath. It's got the longest kind of like explanation because God knew we would kind of try to work around it. We try to find some angle. You know, it's like, not only are you to take a rest, because God rested after he created the world in 6 days and he made the seventh day holy and then blessed it. It's not just set apart. It's actually blessed to take a Sabbath with the Lord. But then he's like, so you're not able, I don't want you working. I don't want anyone in your house working. I don't want any guests working. I don't want any visitors working. I don't want any of your slaves. He's like going all the different, I don't want your animals working. He goes through the whole long list because he wants them to know, don't do it. This is a time of you being able to just be present with the Lord and be present with one another and not work about what are we gonna produce, trusting him. The fifth one is honor your father and mother. Now, honor your parents is it comes with a great, great promise. That just because they might be getting older, they might not be as productive, doesn't mean that they're not worth anything anymore, right? I mean, he is making a bold statement here by saying, listen, honor your parents. And then he gives a promise with it, and you're going to live a long life with it. You're going to be blessed because of it. And then he goes into several big things, but he starts the big one and kind of works his way up, right? No murder, the biggest, right? No adultery, you know, let your neighbor's wife stay your neighbor's wife, you know, don't take her, right? No stealing, let your neighbor's stuff be his stuff or her stuff, right? No false witness, you can't lie about your neighbors, you shouldn't lie about anything else for other people, okay? No coveting, selfish longing, just about what you want, right? All these things make up what we call the Ten Commandments or the Big Ten, the 10 words. Now, I want to encourage you, dig in. There's so much more to these. If this has kind of struck a little bit of a chord, like, you know, I don't even know if I knew all 10 of them, you know, if I could just say them like that, then maybe you need to check out the Eco-Confessional Standards. This is a group of confession throughout the ages, from the early part of the church, like 200s, up till the mid-1900s, okay? And so there's a collection of these confessions as a eco-denomination that we have voted on and said, yes, we believe this is a faithful exposition of Scripture and explains or shares or gives insight to how to live in the way of Jesus. And there's one known as the Westminster Confession. And they have just a beautiful way of expounding on the Ten Commandments, of what's good about this commandment and what does life look like when you keep it. A lot of times we just look at it as, oh, these are, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And there's some of that for sure. And they even, in the Westminster Confession, they even talk about what will your life be like if you break it, right? They really talk about the good of them and the purpose of them and stuff. But that would be a great way to kind of dig in and really deepen your faith and your knowledge and your theology of what it means, again, to be a follower of Jesus. Back to the text and back to what we're talking about. In chapter 20, we see how God apparently says that he's a jealous God. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up going, jealous sounds, that sounds bad, right? I mean, you never want to be someone to be jealous. What the heart of that word means is that he is inviting us to be like in a marriage. And this spouse that he's inviting us to be a part of, the people there, people of God there, he's like, listen, it's when I said yes to you, I said yes to only you, kind of thing, right? And he's like, listen, I want you to say yes to me. It's this proclamation saying, hey, I'm all in on this. We have a whole other illustration actually in the Old Testament. I like to say again, part one, where we have this prophet who is told to marry this woman. And this woman is a prostitute. This woman just cheats on him. This woman just goes about. And it's to show the sacrificial, self-giving love of God that this guy is supposed to have for his wife over and over. Like she has left you and treated you like this. The people of Israel has left me. Okay? And so he is going to kind of lay out there, and we'll see this here in a minute, but he's going to lay out there and say, listen, if you want to be in a relationship with me, this is what's got to happen. I'm all in on you, you're all in on me, kind of thing, right? So he says he's a jealous God. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to share you, okay? Like you can't be playing with the gods over there. And a lot of times we think that it's just about, oh, I've trusted God with, being where I'm going to be forever, eternity, which is great. We need to do that. But what about my everyday life? How does that matter? Does that really matter to God? You can't read Exodus 20 and not and have even a thought that it doesn't matter to him. It's not possible. Jesus, he took these Ten Commandments in different ways in the Sermon on the Mount and really elevated them. It's not even like don't commit adultery. It's like even if you look at a person lustfully, you commit adultery in your heart. I mean, he takes them to a whole nother level. He's Jesus, right? But he tries to help us understand that the core. It wasn't just a legal thing. I mean, yes, these are people 400 years been enslaved. They don't have a library that they can go and pull back. They don't have a set of ethics, of laws, of ordinances, and so on. So he's given it to them, and we'll see how he does that. But a lot of times we just look at this, at the Big Ten, as almost like God gives rules, right? He's just given these rules and stuff. But don't miss this. It begins with a relationship before the rules. He talks about who he is. I am the God who rescued you. I'm the God who redeemed you. I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. I mean, he talks about a relationship before he ever gets to rules. And again, I quote rules here. See, I believe a better way of looking at this is a rule of life. That he wants us to learn how to live in relationship with him and relationship with others. The first four are about how to love God with our heart, soul, mind, strength. The next six are how to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Again, powerful insight. But I hope it helps you. That this is not just a list, but it's trying to help us to live in a rule of life. How do we organize our day? How do we set apart time to just be with the Lord? How do we set time to read God's word? How do we create space where we can make sure we slow down and stop, like the Sabbath? How do we ensure that we have time in community with family, with friends, to bring and encourage life? We all need that. That's what God intended. And you'll see this rhythm that goes on with that. We continue. Exodus 21. God gives ethics, ordinances, even capital punishment. Okay, if this happens, then this is what we're going to do. This is where we get the whole eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? I mean, at the time, that was a radical leap forward when it came to ethics and laws. If somebody was bigger and stronger and they, like, oh, you looked at someone wrong, boom, you go kill them? You know, where's the laws in that, right? It was just about who had the bigger club, right? Who was a better warrior? And so God's laying this out, saying, listen, if someone broke someone's tooth or out of their mouth or whatever like that, then guess what? They lose a tooth too. He is taking a leap forward to where it was. I don't think he ever wanted us to stay that way, okay? So we have to understand that this is something that was great, but now we got to keep working through that, working on it. So we even have capital punishment, property rights. You know, if this happens on this on your property and this happens, how are you going to deal with it, and so on and so forth. Again, he's trying to equip them for their current context. Chapter 22, God gives more laws, okay? He gives laws, but he gives more kind of sexual ethics, religious ethics, protection for those on the fringe of society, orphans, widows, even the strangers, because he's like, hey, you were strangers once in Egypt. Remember that. I think it's important to remember where you come from, for sure, right? We need to remember those. I remember growing up, my family moved, it seemed like every 6 months. It wasn't that much, but it was about every 6 months to a year, my stepfather would get transferred in his work and stuff for about a period, about eight, nine years, it seemed like. And so we always knew school. I became the new kid every year, kind of going, you know, starting school. I became really good at looking for the new kids because it was like, oh, I've been there. When we finally like didn't move anymore, it was like, oh, I'm looking for the new kids, you know. But that is part of my journey, part of my story. I think God arranged that, you know. So how has God arranged your story that you can help maybe be a lifeline, how you can encourage others where he has you? Exodus 23 is God gives again the Sabbath, but this time it's not just the Sabbath as the ten, you know, in the Ten Commandments of how we need to take a day and rest in the Lord. But no, this Sabbath is about the land, actually. That rhythm for life, that 6 days you do work and one day you don't. How would your life be like that right now, right? What Sabbath for the land, that 6 years you can produce and you cultivate and you harvest, but then 1 year you give it a break. Right? And it's one of those things that we start to see how there's this not just farming techniques he's giving here, but again, a way of living. What would it look like for your seventh year in life to really take a breath and say, okay, where am I at in life? How am I relating to God? How am I growing in him? How am I relating to other people? How am I helping influence them and serving them? And then 23, we see how God gives the land. He says, I'm going to give you this land little by little. He's driving out the people that were there. He says they were just in a bad place. They weren't in good. They weren't honoring anyone. They were very destructive. And he says, I'm going to remove them. But I'm going to remove them slowly and surely. As you come in, you're going to be all stocked up. You're going to have, you know, produce. You're going to have beef, you know, whatever, you know, the livestock and so on. But he's like, beware that as people are still there leaving, you don't be influenced by them in a negative way. You know, we remember the Ten Commandments. Remember what I told you. So he knows that we can be influenced easily. And it's not a something to be afraid of, but it's definitely something to be mindful of. And so it's important. How are we letting others influence us? Who are we placing ourselves around? Okay? And I think it's crucial that we can acknowledge that and be wise about that. Exodus 24 is if the people affirm the covenant. Check out some of these verses. I mean, we're gonna see some more epic moments here. All the people answered with one voice, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. I mean, I highlighted it in yellow, right? I made it yellow because I was like, we would do everything. I mean, they're like, we're all in on the Lord. We are in. Okay? He says, then he took the book and the covenant of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. Again, they all responded, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey. And this is the epic part. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, and that's how this chapter is ending. You're kind of like, whoa. Like, can you, again, picture this, right? He's going into the mist. He's disappearing into the cloud. He's up on that cloud, or he's up on the mountain with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. Now, we're going to see next week how the people really go right off the rails again quickly. we should have kind of a flashback back to Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the tree of good and of knowledge of good and evil. But man, here it's just beautiful picture, powerful image. We have not Charlton Heston, but Moses actually going up the mountain, and he's going to receive these 10 commandments. He's going to receive these 10 words on tablets, and God's going to give it to him to bring back down. Okay, but it's so epic in the fact of, again, Moses doesn't hesitate. I mean, Moses is kind of like day at the office, it seems like, right? I mean, he's just like thunder, smoke, fire, earthquake, and yet he's just walking on up. He has a relationship with the Lord. I mean, it's bigger. It's for him, it's a way of life. Yes, these are the 10 words that he's now sharing with the people and inviting all of them. Do you want to be in a relationship with the Lord? If you do, then great, let's do it. He seems to already have that way of life. Where are you in that? That's something to think about in the next few moments. Where are you? Is living in step with the Lord? Are people blessed because of you? Are they encouraged because of you? Are they better off because of their relationship with you? Now, all of us have ups and downs. All of us have seasons where maybe we have some struggles or we need some help, maybe doctors or something like that. And we're not capable of maybe kind of, you know, leading and journeying. But most of us are in a place where we can be used by the Lord, that he's put us in his place, that he wants for us to go out, to share with others, to serve others, to care for others. Where has he placed you? How can you live in step with him? The final word is this: transformation. It's not in an instant, that it takes time. I mean, these people, all they had known is making bricks and babies, right? And God has just, in a whirlwind, rescued them out of Egypt. In 2 months' time, they journey together. There's going to be some routines that happen in there, right? I mean, who's setting up that tent? Who's building the fire? Who's getting the wood? So on. But now he's given them this way of how to live, how to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, how to love others, their neighbors, treat their neighbors the same, right? How are they doing that? And I just want to share with you, and this is a hard one, but this comes from another pastor, James Brian Smith, as a great analogy to growing as a disciple. And if you know me, this is not easy for me because I hate pickles. like I think they're from the devil. when I'm at a restaurant and I say no pickles, I'm like, you know, food costs, say food costs. They usually will, you know, help out. But then I'm like, listen, just don't even put them on a plate. Like, I'll know if you put them on a sandwich, take them off. It's just, doesn't do me good. But this really does make a lot of sense, and I hope it connects with you. So pickles, they come from cucumbers. This is something, again, I learned years ago and as like a faux pas when I'm talking with some friends, and I'm like, yeah, I hate pickles, but I like cucumbers. You know, we were talking about things. I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, so now I don't even like cucumbers because since I found that out. Anyhow, please, I digress. So cucumbers, right? Cucumbers, you add the brine and vinegar mixture solution to it, right? You put it in, and then instantly become pickle. No, actually it's not. You can, if you put them in and pull them out, you just have baptized pickles or baptized cucumbers, I guess, right? They're not going to be instant pickles, no. You actually I did some research on this, you have to wait about 6 weeks or so before the pickles can come about. And then you have pickles. My whole point of talking about something that I absolutely, messes with me, is it takes time to grow in the Lord. You need grace. You need God's grace pouring into you. I need God's grace pouring into me. I need it more and more each day. In fact, the longer I live, the more I'm like, Lord, I need more, like help, you know, like help me. Yeah, you need it too. So my question for you is in taking time to grow in the Lord, we have to have some grace. We have to be able to say, okay, what's something I can do today? What's my next step today? What is it today that I can do? Is it reading God's word? Is it slowing down, looking at my calendar and saying, okay, I got to cut out some things? Is it, okay, what about our finances? How are we using that for God's kingdom? How are we sacrificing and giving to others? That's a big one. What is your next step? We will be happy to help you. Reach out to the church, and we'll be happy to help you discern that. Not for per se us. Maybe there's something God's doing in your life. I have a wonderful frontline ministry, and what we call that here at All Villages is where has God placed you, okay? And there's a gentleman who's got a great frontline ministry. And right before I left for vacation, I took him out to lunch, and I was hearing about what he's doing. And I said, you know what? I feel led to bless you and your ministry. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I gave him like $200. I said, full on. I said, $200. I want you to just bless the socks out of the people you're serving. And he's like, what? I don't understand. I said, I know. You're used to most churches saying, we need your money. You know, and don't get me wrong, it's part of the, you know, how God's ordered things and stuff like that. But the church is also there to equip you to do ministry. And so I gave him $200. I said, it's a blessing. Praise the Lord, keep it up. I want to encourage you in your ministry. I mean, that for him, he'll never forget it. But I know he's making a difference in people's lives. Where has God placed you? What is your next step? Another aspect from reading this last week was the people, if you read 19 through 24, the people come to a point where they're afraid. They're like, Moses, you handle it. It just doesn't seem that safe. How about you talk to God? We'll be over here. And you have this like kind of separation, right? Am I keeping God at a safe distance? That's the question that kind of just, for me, was being begged to ask. So where are you keeping God at a safe distance? Is it in your relationships? Is sometimes coming to service, we can keep God at a safe distance. I know it sounds weird, right? Like, but we can. We can come, maybe sit in the back row, maybe, sit in the middle. But maybe if we even just come online, we're kind of like, oh, I did it, I'm good. But maybe we know God's wanting so much more of our hearts and our lives. I want to encourage you to lean in. Don't be afraid to ask God that question. God, where am I keeping you at a safe distance? Where do you want more of me? Now, we have some homework. We're going to be finishing pushing on strong throughout Exodus chapters 25 through 40. And if you're reading through the Beginnings Immerse Bible, it's pages 122 to 149. Now, I know it's a lot. So start today, start reading into it, read a few chapters each day, and I'm telling you, you'll really glean a lot from it. But look forward to sharing some time with you next week on that. But again, dig in. If you don't have a Beginnings Bible, let us know. We'll be happy to get one to you. We'll send it out right away, or you can swing by the church, okay, and let us know if you need one. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless. We'll see you next week.